See what he's up to in the sports section. Online, registerguard.com, ducksports.com, on Twitter, Austin Meek RG. Actually, that would be at Austin Meek RG. Austin, happy Tuesday. How you doing?
Hey, Steve, I'm good. How are you doing?
So you apparently don't have to bring legal action against the NFL like you threatened earlier on Twitter. Message received loud and clear.
Yeah, I think the cease and desist letter from my attorney must have gotten to Roger Goodell, because I would have been quite irate if Pat Mahomes, the future of the Chiefs franchise, was forced to risk his ACLs on that awful field in Mexico City.
Yeah, I felt like your future Sundays were in the palm of their hands. So let's start with our plan, get the Chiefs to Super Sunday for the first time since January of 1970. Just the fourth time in modern history, two teams at this late date play versus each other with none or one loss. So the win at Arizona, not overwhelming, but a W is a W. So what's your thought this week on this kind of train that keeps a rolling?
Well, it should be fun this week, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
Chiefs and Rams, got to be one of the best Monday night games we've ever seen. I was watching last night for some reason, you know, after that total dog we had last night, Giants and 49ers, they were saying that I think there had only been one other Monday night game where the teams had a better record than the Chiefs and Rams combined, 18-2. So could be a Super Bowl preview. I don't know. It should be a lot of fun. I've never been so glad to find out that my team is playing a road game. Even though they do have to play in L.A., it'll be a better viewing experience and a better experience for the players than what it would have been, judging by the photos of that field in Mexico City.
Yeah, that looked embarrassing. So I need a little clarity. You tweeted something cryptic yesterday. Dateline Arizona State, I'll quote, "To inspire his struggling defense, Jim Leavitt jumps in the Willamette River in a flesh-colored leotard." Where are we going here, Austin?
So before the season, I do a game-by-game
yep.
prediction of how the season is going to go. And I have to say, my batting average on those predictions is not great so far. I've missed on a few of those, but I just wanted to make the point that I still had time to be right about that, and this would be a good time for me to be right about that, because Oregon is really really struggling right now on both sides of the ball, and they could use something to turn it around. So, Jim, if you're listening to this, you could jump in that river, and maybe it would fire some people up. Who knows?
Wow, telling the coach to go jump in a lake, in essence. All right, we'll document that one.
Well, hey, if anybody would do that, I think it might be Jim Leavitt.
Yeah, that's actually a frighteningly good point. I think what we're seeing partly is Mario Cristobal's trying to say change, I guess, some foundation issues with the program, which will take time. But right now, if you look at the bowl game from last year, this year at Pullman, Tucson, and Salt Lake City, the bottom line is, on the road, aside from Cal, that they've been bad. How legit are people to be a little concerned?
Well, and the common thread in all of those games is how poorly they have started. It's really become a trend. And in some of those games, they fought back. In some of the games, they haven't, but the common denominator is the first quarter has just been abysmal. And it was that way again against Utah. You know, they get in a 10-0 hole, and then the offense starts to move the ball a little bit, but you can't live that way. You can't dig yourself a hole every time on the road and think you're going to be able to get out of it. So somehow they've got to come up with some answers. And I think you hit on something that definitely is worth talking about in terms of the identity that Mario Cristobal is trying to build, because he's been very open about the fact that he wants Oregon to be kind of a run-first, physically dominant team. And I think what we've seen is Oregon coming out basically in every game and trying to establish that. But in these last few road games, it hasn't worked. You know, it's put them in an early hole. And so I think you have to ask, is it just that they're kind of going through some growing pains right now where they're not able to execute that style the way they want to play it? Or is it a matter of, you know, what their plan just isn't working? What they're trying to do at the outset of these games isn't working, and the only way they've gotten back into a couple of them is by throwing it out the window and just trying to adjust on the fly.
Talking with Austin Meek of the Register Guard, when we did our post-game Saturday, I asked Ken Woody, I was like you just said, it's obvious what Cristobal and his coordinator, Marcus Arroyo, want to do and want to be. And actually, I like them being that transparent. But any logic to while that's all well and good, you look at your roster and you got to incorporate injuries. They need to first deal with what they are rather than what they want to be, which might take a year or two.
Yeah, I mean, the best coaches are the ones who are flexible enough to build their team around the players that they have. And when I look at Oregon's team and say, what are the strengths of this team? Number one is Justin Herbert. You've got a top 10 pick playing quarterback that teams all over the country would love to have. So that's where it starts. You've got an offensive line with four starters back. You've got a wide receiver in Dylan Mitchell who is as good as pretty much anybody in the Pac-12, if not in the country. So to me, that's where it starts. And yeah, you would love to be a run-first team, a team that can come out and pound it between the tackles. My question is, do you have the running back to do that? And is that really the best way to play for this team? And I don't know the answer to that for sure, but I do think it's true that with a guy like Justin Herbert playing quarterback, it's got to start with him. And maybe to some degree Oregon has been constrained by the lack of depth at wide receiver, which is certainly an issue. If Dylan Mitchell isn't open, a lot of times it seems like nobody's open. But somehow it seems like they ought to be getting more out of Justin Herbert right now, because he is one of the best quarterbacks in the country, and right now it hasn't translated to a lot of success for this offense.
Yeah, I've been reading what Ryan's been writing and what you've been writing, and, you know, get quotes from the coaches and the players. So I guess putting a finger on any problems is an issue. So from what you're hearing or what the guys are telling you or observing, are they leaning more with a flawed plan or inconsistent execution? Because it seems to be Team A or Team B.
Yeah, the coaches clearly are putting it on execution right now. You know, Mario Cristobal said a couple times, and Marcus Arroyo said the same thing today, you know, looking back at their first play against Utah, it's a play-action pass. Tony Brooks-James has already released out of the backfield, so Justin Herbert is play-action to nobody, and then they throw the pass to Brooks-James in the flat, and he drops it. And you know, both Cristobal and Marcus Arroyo said, hey, the call was good. It would have been a big gain. The execution just wasn't there. You know, that's the kind of stuff that, you know, it feels a little bit like throwing a player under the bus and saying, well, hey, we had a good call. He just didn't catch the ball. I guess part of my question is, why is Tony Brooks-James starting at running back over C.J. Verdell? You know, I know there's injuries and whatnot, but it just feels to me like they do need to take a look at their plan and say, are we calling the right things? Do we have the right game plan? Are we using our personnel in the best possible way or not? Because sometimes it feels like some of these mistakes that they've had to start the game that have put them in an early hole, feels like a lot of those mistakes are avoidable.
You know, the million-dollar question with me is always what the fans think, and you hear from them frequently as well. So the bottom line is it reasonable to expect the fans to be patient and see if this year ends up better than last year and if next year ends up better than this year? Or are we going to always have the people who still think it's 2012 and they're in the midst of a dominating run?
Yeah, and I'm kind of writing about that right now in a column for tomorrow about Marcus Arroyo, about how, you know, when you're the offensive coordinator at Oregon, you're not just judged by, you know, the comparison to your peers in the Pac-12. You're judged by the comparison to what Oregon used to be on offense. And I think that's part of the issue right now with Marcus Arroyo is they haven't been bad on offense this year. They're in the top 25 in scoring. They're in the top 40 in total yards. The problem is they're not what Oregon has been in the past. And the offense at Oregon is always going to be held to a different standard than the defense. You can make the case, and the stats are pretty clear, that Oregon's offense has been better than Oregon's defense this year by a pretty wide margin.
Yeah,
but yet, so much more of the focus is on the offense.
Yeah, you also have to be careful when you start talking about what they're averaging points-wise, because they scored 120 their first two games against two just disastrous opponents.
Absolutely. Yeah, and you know, Mario Cristobal has been bringing that up, too, that, hey, we were number one in the Pac-12 in total offense at the beginning of the season. Well, yeah, you play Bowling Green and Portland State and San Jose State, and pretty much everybody else in the Pac-12 had one real team, at least, they had to play in the non-conference. So to me, it's all about, what have they done in the Pac-12, which hasn't been as good?
No, and speaking of opponents, Arizona State's coming. I was one who raised a furrowed brow when Herm Edwards was hired. Hadn't been in college since the early days of the Bush-Quayle administration, I kid you not. The Michigan State win looked good. They lost 3 of 4. Now they've beaten USC, Utah, UCLA. They control fate in the South. You know, I've always admired Edwards for his moral compass and his analysis, but football-wise, how impressed should we be with how they're coming on year one?
Yeah, you know, we've talked about them at various points through the season, and, you know, I, like you, I kind of raised my eyebrows a little bit at the hire, but also felt like there are worse people, certainly, you could put in charge of a college football program. And you know, I guess I kind of thought when they beat Michigan State early this year, I thought, hey, that's kind of a nice story. They're going to get a good building block win for Herm Edwards in year one, and then they're going to finish in the middle of the pack in the South, and that'll be what it is. But they've actually, you know, they've followed up on that by now being the team that has the inside track to win the division, which I never would have predicted, even though I was probably a little bit higher than on Arizona State than some people were. I had no idea that they would be in the mix to win the division. You know, it's partly a reflection on the division,
yeah,
the fact that there's no dominant team in the South this year. But I give them a lot of credit, you know, for putting this together late in the season and coming into Austin in mid-November with a chance to play their way into the Pac-12 title game.
And lastly, the Oregon men's basketball team is in the Big Apple. They play an Iowa team in this Empire Classic Thursday. You know, there's limited data, two relatively easy home games. But now going across the country, unfamiliar venue, play a Power 5 program. Any logic to this? Kind of a nice next step to kind of test where this team is headed?
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to find some things out about Oregon this week. And look, these games are important. You know, they're going to play Iowa, and they potentially could get Syracuse. And you look at Oregon's schedule, and you look at the Pac-12 this year, these are really important games. Oregon's non-conference schedule, you know, doesn't have a ton of big names on it. They do play a couple tough road games. They got to play at Houston. They're going to play at Baylor. But these are the games that you really need to get those, you know, quadrant one, quadrant two wins in non-conference play, because the Pac-12 isn't going to help them a lot. You know, the Pac-12 is going to be down this year, largely because Arizona is down. So you're not going to be able to count on Arizona to give you that big boost in your strength of schedule this year. So they do need to play well in these games. And, you know, for the freshmen, for Bol Bol and the other freshmen, you know, this is the first time playing in the big spotlight. So we'll see how they respond.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, and then who they play next, you know, be it UConn or the Cuse. All right, folks, he is Austin Meek. Online, registerguard.com, ducksports.com. Pick up a copy of the paper. Check him out in the sports section on Twitter at AustinMeekRG. Austin, always fun. Always look forward to it, and look forward to chatting on Saturday.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks, Steve.
All right, take it easy, Austin.